One thing I love about Josiah's singing, even though I don't see much of his facial expressions, I know he shows it on his face. There's no doubt about it. And praise the Lord, I love that guy. Praise the Lord when God brought Josiah and Ariel by to Calvary Baptist Church. A real blessing, bringing some young couples. And anyways, Ephesians chapter 5, if you would look there, please. I would like to begin reading in verse number 21. We are doing a study here through the book of Ephesians titled Born Again Identity, and talking about that which we have in Jesus Christ. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. This morning, I'd like to preach on this subject here, the responsibility of the wife. In doing this morning, there are two things that I will note with you. Number one, husbands, do not check out, okay? Just because the title has to do with the wife, don't say, well, I can kind of go ahead and play on my phone or do something else. You need to listen this morning, all right? You need to listen. Number two, I kiddingly say, my wife has given me permission to preach this morning, okay? No, I'm just kidding. I've not checked this out with her at all, but there is a lot of fear and trepidation, if I could say it this way, in preaching on this subject. The reason being is because our culture has turned everything upside down. Amen. And if you're ever going to know how something works, you have to go back to its original intent. And if we're going to know how a marriage is to work, then it's important that we look at the Bible and see what the Bible says. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for this blessed day. Pray that as we come to gather together here and focus on the things of the Word of God, give us understanding. May we apply where application is so needed. In Jesus' name, amen. We now have come really to a very practical section in this study of the book of Ephesians. We've been shown the first few chapters, who we are in Jesus Christ, and that identity that we have in Jesus Christ ought to show up in all places in our marriage. Now, as we talk about marriage today, I cannot help but think of the awful rate of divorce that we have in the United States. You realize that in 1870, only 27 of every 1,000 marriages ended in divorce. And today, half of all marriages will end in divorce or separation. Sadder yet is that 60% of all second marriages, that is, a divorce and then another marriage, and 73% of all third marriages also end in divorce. Now, I suppose you'd say to yourself, well, preacher, marriage is not easy. Well, someone once said, marriages may be made in heaven, but the maintenance must be done on earth. For marriages to survive, they require regular maintenance. They require effort. Someone also said this, one thing I know is that marriage is made in heaven, but then again, so is there in lightning. And it's no surprise that so many marriages, sadly, do fail. It was Socrates who said this, by all means, marry. If you get a good wife, then blessed you will be. If you get a bad wife, you'll become a philosopher. Well, there was a golden anniversary that was thrown for an elderly couple. This kind of shows sometimes how things go in marriages and how we even find, even in later years, sometimes things aren't always that easy. But the husband was very moved by the occasion and wanted to tell his wife what he thought of her. However, she was very hard of hearing. With all the family and friends gathered around, he toasted to her and he said, "My dear wife, after 50 years, I found you tried and true." Well, everybody clapped and excited, but the wife was just irritated and she said, "What did you say?" So he repeated it again louder. "After 50 years, I found you tried and true." The wife was now visibly shaken and upset, and she shouted back, "Well, let me tell you something. After 50 years, I'm tired of you too." As we introduce the subject this morning, I'm mindful of two things that must be brought in. Number one, the context of the Scripture. Last week, we looked at verse 18, which is not to be looked at as a separate part of this whole context, but it's to be brought in together. If your marriage is to work and to prosper and to be successful, you as a wife, you as a husband, must be filled with the Spirit of God. So the context is important. But we must also remember that God is more concerned about you fulfilling your responsibility than you are on getting your needs met. Take a look at most of the Christian bookstores today, or the general bookstores, and walk up and down the aisles of the books that pertain to marriage. And what will you find? Everything about your needs as a wife, your needs as a husband. How can I have my needs met? And I think that as we read through the Bible, it becomes very clear, it becomes very evident that it's not that God is not concerned about your needs, but God keeps those needs kind of down lower and He raises up the responsibility that you have. And when you begin to fulfill the responsibility that God has given you in your marriage, you will then find that in turn, your needs will be met. What a powerful thing is. A lot of times couples find themselves on the downward spiral. And many times they'll come into a counselor or a preacher's office and they'll say, "You know, tell my wife or tell my husband they must do this." You say, "Does that really happen?" Absolutely. I had a couple sit in my office one day, and the husband had no sooner sat down than he said, "Preacher, tell my wife she needs to submit to me." I said, "My friend, if after 12 years you haven't figured it out, who am I to go ahead and say anything about it?" In fact, that's not the way to start. And sadly, that marriage ended in divorce. If you want to find that a wife follows a husband, or if you want a husband to love the wife, as we'll see next week, then you begin fulfilling that which God has asked you to do. And so today, let's just take a couple of areas here from this passage and talk about this area of the wife's role and responsibility and this word, submission. Verse number 22, I want you to notice number one, the instruction about submission. The instruction about submission. Now, as I begin this section, I'm quite aware that I have to deal with this, but I do so with the utmost care and with fear, if you will. Why, preacher? Because the word submit today is looked at as a word with disdain. With the feminist movement of today, it's as if this word has been taken and locked up, never to be brought out again. But also, when people think of the word submit, or they think of submission, we begin to think of cavemen, tyranny, chauvinism, domination. But I must say that when we begin to think in those realms, then we have misapplied the Scriptures, we have abused the Scriptures, and we have grossly misunderstood what God's intention was all about. Let's open this verse up and talk, first of all, the meaning of submission. The word submission or the word submit means to place in order, to rank. It carries with it the idea of giving up one's rights and placing oneself under God-ordained authority. Now, two things that this does not mean. The idea of submission for a wife is not the same as obey, like children are to obey their parents in chapter 6, verse 1, or that servants are to obey their masters in chapter 6, verse 5. But it also does not mean that wives, that you go ahead and just submit to your husbands in areas that are sinful or wrong. God has inspired Peter, the great writer of Scripture here, to write that you and I ought to obey every ordinance of man when it comes to our government. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. But that same man who wrote those Scriptures also said that when those laws contradicted God's laws, he said in Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so wives, you better be careful and make sure that if your husband takes you down a path, that it is definitely contradictory to God's word. So that those things that must be understood about submission. But submission is this. It is simply responding to the loving leadership that God has given you. It is simply responding to the loving leadership that God has given you. And next week, husbands, we're going to talk about that loving leadership that you ought to provide. But wives here today, it does not mean that you cannot have independent thoughts or ideas. When it talks about submission here, it doesn't mean that you're less intelligent, that you're fearful or timid, that you're going around cowering or under the will of a man. There is no such thing as a loss of dignity in the concept of biblical submission. But real submission, as the Bible talks about it, will indeed affirm the headship of the husband as a scriptural concept. You see, it's an acknowledgement that God has designed this authority. So that's the meaning of submission, but notice the manner of it. It is told us in verse number 22, as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. You see, it's not that the husband takes the place of God. It's not that we're to consider him first necessarily, but we're doing this as unto the Lord, that we're considering God and His will. And may I say, wives, that if you properly fulfill that which God has asked you to do, you in your marriage are giving glory to God because you're following God's prescription for marriage. But notice the motive, the meaning of submission, the manner of it, but the motive of it. It is to be done unto the husbands. I love these words, unto your own husbands. Now, it doesn't qualify who your husband is today. If you're here married, it doesn't tell you who that husband is. It's easy many times for us to follow authority that we don't know too well, isn't it? A police officer that stops us will be very courteous to them. A government official, somebody that's over us that we don't know well, we'll follow. But that one you've been married to for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and you know very well, as a wife, sometimes maybe it might be that you chafe under that. Wives have all sorts of excuses as to why they should not follow their husband's leadership. Well, you just don't understand my husband. He's not spiritual enough. He's resentful of me. He's unkind. He doesn't love me. Yet, can I say to you today, you wives, you have an ability to affect your husband for good when you follow his leadership, even if he is a scoundrel. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 1. Listen to this verse. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Now, it's a little quiet in here today. I feel alone up here, all right? I feel like I need to move down here, all right? I need to look at your faces a little closer here. But then think about this for just a moment, about the wives. You say, well, you know, the reason I'm not following my husband is because he's this way, or he treats me this way, or he doesn't treat me a certain way as I ought to be treated. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 talks about it talks about our manner of life, how we ought to submit to him, and we win our husband over by how we respond to him. Now, you know what's amazing about that passage of Scripture? If you read further on, you find in this Scripture that it begins to give the example of Abraham and Sarah. And the Bible says about Sarah that she literally submitted to her husband, in fact, calling him Lord. And we're talking about a wife that submitted to a husband who lied about her. Not once, but twice. And yet, she submitted to him. She followed his leadership. And what a beautiful thing it is for wives to follow the prescription of God and to quietly follow the leadership of your husband and not do what the world talks about, nagging. Nagging. You know, the Bible gives us a wonderful proverb. In Proverbs chapter 27, verse 15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Now, that's the Bible that puts this out. But I want you to think about it. We tend to follow the prescription of the world and be able to say, well, if I want my husband to change, then I'm going to pester him to change. I'm going to go ahead and nag him. I'm going to bug him over and over so that way he'll be the person I want him to be. My friend, the Bible says you just follow your husband. You submit under the leadership that God has provided you and you do what God asks you to do and God will begin to work in your husband's life. Well, there's not a wife that's here today that doesn't want their husband to be like God. And nagging and bugging and pestering will not do it. But I'm here to tell you that following God's instruction, by following verse number 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Now notice number 2 here, verse number 23. Not only the instruction, but notice the intent of submission. Verse 23. Verse 23 opens up to us now the reason that wives are to submit to their husbands. And I think that as we look at this, one thing that we ought to understand about God is that God is a God of order. God has structured our whole society with order. Our nation has been established with an authority structure. We've been given government leaders, police officers, judges that we're to follow. Romans 13, 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Our churches have been established with authority. God has ordained pastors and elders there to take the oversight. Notice Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. Why? Because they watch for your souls. As they might give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. And can I remind you today that the home is no different. The three basic places that God has set up, government, the church, and now the home is no different. God has established the home to operate under a system of authority. In the creation, God established it that way. After the fall, God reestablished that way. And he gave it its proper structure. Now let's look at this in verse 23. Notice this. For the husband here is the head of the wife. Now please notice, it doesn't say the husband is the head of the wife, period. It gives an example. It actually shows us here that husbands, there is something that you have to attain unto. A mark of excellence for you to follow. You see, not one of us here today would argue that Christ is the head of the church. the Bible clearly tells us. But it's not just simply that we read of it in the Scripture, but we know that Christ is the head of the church because He gave Himself for the church. He loved it. He died for the church. So what does this verse mean for husbands and wives? Well, husbands, just because the Bible says that you're the head of the home doesn't mean that you go walk around as a dictator. Doesn't mean that you can go ahead and walk around like the Incredible Hulk and just kind of blow your way through life. Husbands, you ought to provide loving leadership to your wife. Servant type leadership. Can I say any wife will follow her husband if her husband loves like Christ loved the church? It's powerful. Husbands ought to love their wives. But wives, doesn't mean you're inferior. Just because it says here in verse 23, the husband is the head of the wife, does not mean that there's something lower about a wife. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, there are no classifications. The Bible says, Paul writes this here, there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And when it comes to the home, what God has done in His structure, what God has done in laying out the home is not that we're equal together under God, but we've been given different roles. And if everyone, in fact, verse number 21, I'm going to highlight verse 21 next week, husbands, when you're back next week. But I'm going to highlight verse number 21 because the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is, wives, you're to submit to your role as following under God's provided leadership. But husbands, you're to submit to your role in providing that loving leadership in the home. I love here what C.H. Spurgeon said about women. The great preacher said this, woman was not taken out of man's head to be lord over him, or from his feet to be trampled on by him, but from his side to be equal with him, from under his arm to be protected by him, and from near his heart to be loved by him. Powerful. But number three, I want you to notice verse number 24. Here's the Bible talking about the illustration of submission. So the instruction, verse 22, the intent of submission, verse 23, but the illustration of submission in verse number 24. Look at this. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands. Now, we alluded to this in the previous verse, but now we see that God desires us to understand fully. And it's this principle, that as a wife submits to and follows her husband, she is providing a picture to all around her that her marriage is a picture of Christ and the church. If you're married today, you're providing a silent witness to the unsaved of an illustration of what Christ is to the church. I suppose I have to look at it from one standpoint. With the marriages that I have seen, and probably many of you have seen, no wonder why people want nothing to do with the church. Because if marriage is an illustration of what the church is all about, if they see this marriage falling apart and constant argumentation and constant fighting and constant picking on one another, then they look at that and they say, I want nothing to do with the church. But I want to encourage you in your relationship, whether you are a husband here today, whether you are a wife, whether you're thinking here in the future of getting married, to consider what your role is and that that marriage that you have or one day will have is a picture before everybody of what Christ is to the church. We as a church are to submit ourselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If we don't follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not doing what the Bible tells us to do. We're being disobedient. And it's important to us to submit. We're not here just to submit to man's rules. We're not here to submit to tradition. We're here to take the Word of God, and we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the church follows Jesus Christ, because He is the head of the church, so the marriage is a picture, and it is a silent witness of who Jesus is to the local church. Now, can I say to you, marriage, biblically, was designed by God Himself. He instituted it. In fact, He performed the first wedding ceremony in the Garden of Eden. He has continued it down through the ages, and it is His vehicle for the propagation of mankind, and it's something for our happiness and our fulfillment. But Satan notes the marriage. And he regards the marriage and the home as his greatest battleground. The easiest way for Satan to destroy churches is through the home. He'll try to destroy the children to be rebellious against their mom and dad. He'll try to destroy the husband and wife to be unfaithful to one another. He'll try to destroy the husband and wife to not fulfill the role that God has asked them to fulfill. And therefore, if Satan can get in and gain any ground, he has brought destruction to the home and ultimately has an effect on the church. And I must say that if you and I are to keep our homes intact and free from the devil's temptations, that we must build that foundation of our home and be sure that that relationship and that role and that responsibility that I have is fulfilled according to God's Word. This morning as I close, I'd like wives, if you would, I don't often ask you to do this, but if you have a little piece of paper, to write a few things down here in closing this morning. I think it's important for you to think about what these verses say to you today. Could I give you some concluding thoughts if you're a wife today or a prospective wife? Number one, respect your husband. Respect your husband. You know, men have the innate sense of finding their value and worth in their manhood and various things. You know, it's amazing to me. I mean, you can watch in little boys. You know, when they start figuring out that there's girls out there, all of a sudden they start doing things so girls are watching, you know. Like, look at how big of muscles I have. Look what I can do. All of these things. I mean, they're finding their worth, their manhood here and their value. And I think that men, as opposed to finding it in the world, it's good for us to be able to find that worth and that value at home. And that means the wife then ought to respect the husband at home. As a wife submits to her husband's leadership and shows respect unto him, God uses it to underscore his value and his worth. Now, again, you might say to me this morning, preacher, you just don't know my husband. I know I don't. I don't need to know your husband. But that's why the Bible says, and I love this in verse number 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, whoever they may be, however bad you may describe them, however poor of a man that they are in their character, however disrespectful they are, however unloving and unkind they are to you, you fulfill your role in submission as unto God by, first of all, respecting Him. Secondly, I want you to note this, if you'd write this down, follow His leadership. Follow His leadership. Now look, he may have made some mistakes in the past. His leadership may not be that strong. But that's okay. It may be that, and I've seen this in certain cases, you as a wife may be stronger as a leader than he is. But whatever the case may be, instead of criticizing him, which I hear often. In fact, I'm going to say this to both men and ladies here today. You ought not to criticize your spouse. I hear it regularly. Oh, yeah, he's just a bumbling idiot. Or he doesn't know what's... You ever watch the commercials today? You ever watch television shows over the last 20 years? You ever notice how television shows, all of a sudden it's like the wife is the dominant one and the husband, he's just nothing but an idiot in the home. You know what they're doing through Hollywood? They're subtly coming in and flipping the home upside down. And so I'm here to tell you, if you want your home to work, don't criticize, but lift him up. How important it is to not criticize, to not hash the past. Oh my, I've seen couples that they come in and they supposedly have forgiven one another, but they keep bringing up the past. Yeah, 25 years ago you did this. You took a wrong turn down that road. We were 3 hours down the road. They're constantly bringing those things up. Don't criticize. Don't bring up all the past failures, but follow his leadership. And I tell you, wives, it will do a world of good for you. So number one, respect him. Number two, follow him. Number three, pray for him. Pray. I know you may not look at it this way, but isn't it not interesting that the Bible talks about that when you've got an enemy, pray for him? Now, some of you may say, boy, I tell you what, you know, the enemy sleeps right next to me. All right, maybe that's so. I don't know. I hope not. But how do you overcome somebody who you're at odds with and you've got problems with? Instead of criticizing, instead of bringing it up before everybody else, you know what you do? You get down on your knees and you pray. You know why you ought to pray for those that are your enemies? And you know why, wives, you ought to pray for your husband? It's because nobody knows him like you do. And therefore, everything that you'd want to bring before everybody, everything you'd like to bring up at the hair salon. I'm telling you, the hair salon is like, instead of a psychiatrist's bed, you're just sitting there. I mean, I've sat in there a couple of times. I've heard more stories than I've wanted to hear. And I hear wives constantly talking about their husbands and criticizing and things. You know what? All of those things you'd want to air out before everybody else, all of those things you'd want to share before everybody and be hurtful and spiteful, how about bring them before God? God, you know my husband. You know he's not here at church today. And I want to nag him about being at church, but Lord, I'm here. And I'm giving him to you. If he doesn't come to church next week, Lord, you strike him dead. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Take that out of the sermon audio, okay? Pray for him. Pray. But lastly, wives, would you write this down? Encourage him in the good that he does. Encourage him. You know, reassuring words have a way of bolstering every relationship. How about trying this, ladies? I know you'll take care of us through this situation. Now, if you're going through a bad situation, what are the things you often want to say? But how about coming with reassuring words and encouraging words? I know you'll take care of us through this situation. I'm so glad God has given you to me. You made such a great decision right here. Think about what these words do. Proverbs 3:27, withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Proverbs 13:25 or 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Encourage him. Now, husbands, I know you thought you were going to skate through this morning. I want you to write down a couple things. Number one, be here next week. That's right. Get your calendar out. Make sure you're here next week. If I see more women than men, I'll put the sermon off and I'll wait. so don't miss it. But I'm going to just give you this. If you want your wife to do what is talked about in these verses, it's real simple. Be the type of man God wants you to be. Be the type of man that God wants you to be. I was reading this week in one of the commentaries that I often use. He's a great commentator, has now gone to be with the Lord, but his name is John Phillips. John Phillips made an interesting observation, and I want to quote this to you. He said, "What woman in all the world who has met and fallen in love with Jesus would not willingly do anything for Him? Never in the Gospels do we find a woman treating Him badly, speaking against Him, or doing anything to harm Him. The women of the New Testament loved and honored Jesus. He was so manly, so honorable, so attractive, so thoughtful, and so kind. It is the men in the Gospels who opposed Him, not the women." So men, what's the moral of the story? Be like Jesus. Be like the Lord. Don't walk out of here and say, as you get in the car and about 2 minutes down the way, "Did you hear the preacher today?" It won't go well, man, I'm telling you. It won't go well. Don't buy a CD, slip it under her pillow. If you want your wife to follow these principles, you be the husband God wants you to be. And as you follow God's prescription for your life, your wife, she'll follow you. May the Lord help our marriages. The bedrock, the foundation of Calvary Baptist Church is the families. Mark it down if you haven't noted it already. God's doing all He can to attack the home. Now, maybe you're here today and your marriage has already crumbled apart. I'm not here to badger you, and I'm not going to say one word of ill towards you. That's in the past. Hopefully you've made it right with God and you've done everything you can and you're moving forward for the Lord. Maybe you're here today and your husband has passed on, and or your spouse is already gone, or you're single. You've maybe never married, or you're looking forward to get married. If you're in a single position here today, why don't you pray for the marriages today? And at our invitation today, I'm going to just ask something simple. I'm going to ask that husbands and wives would consider just either sitting down right at their chair there, or coming up right in the front, and giving themselves to God today. When's the last time you've given your marriage to God? When's the last time you've committed yourself to the Lord and you said, "Lord, we're here. We, as a husband and wife, we're giving ourselves to You. And I am going to fulfill the role You've asked me to do." And the other one says, "I'm going to fulfill the role that God has asked me to do." And you commit your marriage to God. I'm going to invite you to do that today. Now, it may be that there's other things that God is pressing you about. Maybe you're here today and you're not saved. I want to encourage you, that invitation's open for you. If you're not saved, the best decision you can make for you, and if you're married especially, the best decision you can make for your marriage is to get right with God and to be saved. If you've been saved but never been baptized, why don't you come, make it known. We won't baptize you today, but we'll go ahead and make arrangements. Or maybe today you want to join Calvary Baptist Church at the invitation time. This would be your time to go ahead and come. But I'm going to especially ask for couples, wives, husbands, to come and give yourself to God. Father, We thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessing. Pray that somehow some justice has been done to what you've given to us.